Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. Today's date is May the 26th, 2016. It is a Thursday afternoon. Hope that my voice finds you safe and sound as much can be expected behind enemy lines. But it is definitely, it's a battlefield out there, man. And I was reading an article earlier today, and somebody was talking about social media can depress people and whatnot. And, you know, it depends on what's in your social media feed. Again, social media is media, like all forms of media. Radio, what you're listening to now, this is media. Magazines that you read, that's media. Newspapers, that's media. Television, that's media. Even video games, that's media. And much of this media is conveying a message. And so depending, I guess, upon your timeline, if you are one of those people that use social media a lot, as more and more people do turn to social media to get outside of the other forms of media, or I should say not consuming as much as the other forms of media. And, you know, it's not that they're stopping anything, they're just transferring it to social media, and that could be a double-edged sword. It could be good and it could be bad. It's good for independent media producers because it gives us a direct line to the masses and what have you, in a way to pull them into our own platforms, into our own virtual worlds. Now, if you are a person who, you know, you are connected to people on social media and all y'all do all day, well, I shouldn't say all day, but when you do post to social media, you're posting happy pictures, butterflies flapping, you know, landing on flowers, bumblebees gently, you know, bumbling through the breeze and all of that. And, you know, little cat pictures, cute little cat pictures doing little cute cat things and what have you. And, you know, I would imagine, you know, that would have influence on you to where you would feel happy, would feel easy going, feel at ease, because that's the media that you're consuming. Again, you know, I don't have any studies to point you to, but it's a hypothetical, and it just, you know, makes sense given what we do know. You know, now, if you're a person who uses social media to gather independent news reports from around the globe, from where you live and all of that, well, we already know that most of the media is negative. And there's a lot of positive. You could call it positive. I was about to say entertainment media is positive, but not all of it is. And of course, that, you know, is what we're going to be talking about later on with our guest, Brother Kwabena Rasuli of the Clear the Airways Project. He'll be joining us again with an update on news and activities related to clearing the public airways of negative music that is programming antisocial behavior in not just children, but they are the most vulnerable, but in all of us. Social media, I would imagine it depends on what's your news feed, whether or not it makes you depressed. I tell you, doing this radio program, I've done programs under different names, but it's always been me as the host going back to 2007. There are times I've had bouts with depression from reporting on all of, you know, the injustice that is directed towards black people, primarily behind these enemy lines of USA Inc. And one cannot help, you know, if you're an empathetic person, if you care about all of this black death and enslavement that's going on in the 21st century, you're going, you know, to feel that, because, you know, hopefully we're all humans and you have emotions, and some of us are able to hide our emotions better than others. But, you know, it does take a toll on us, I would imagine. You know, I don't see how anybody could last as a coroner or somebody's dealing with death all the time and they see bodies in horrific, you know, conditions physically or whatnot, gunshot wounds, you know, just all manner of ways that people die violently. And, you know, you have to really be desensitized. So, I mean, I'm just saying that it depends on what's in your social media feed or whether or not you're depressed or not. Some people, all they do is and I'm not saying anybody's doing anything wrong. I'm not coming from that perspective, but I'm looking at it, you know, as patterns that I see. But some people, they just focus on business. That's all they focus on, and making they use social networking for business networking, and that's cool, that's all fine. And so maybe, you know, they are not stressed out as much as a news reporter who's reporting on you know, what's going on in the plantation in terms of, you know, people being enslaved and murdered and killed and raped and robbed and just, you know, and this is happening all over the planet. So I can say that I do have bouts with depression that stem from the nature of this program, but it's not enough to stop me from doing it. It just encourages me to try to use my talents, use my resources, use my skills to use media to awaken even more minds so we can have that critical mass, and then we will be able to more easily implement a system of justice. So yeah, can't wait to get an update from Brother Kwabena. He's going to become a regular contributor, so you'll hear him from time to time on the network bringing us news on that particular passion of his and the activists that he worked with in removing the negative programming from the airways and using various tactics to do so. So and I don't know if y'all seen, I posted it in the program description for today. There's this young boy, he looks to be about 8-9 years old, could be 10, I'm not sure, young black boy. He is a talk, it looks like he's hosting a video talk show on YouTube, and I guess the name of his channel, and I'm gonna have to look it up, is the King Nah. Like, you know, nah, if somebody asks you a question, you know, a yes or no question, and you say nah, you know, N-A-H-H. King Nah Radio Show is what the banner say on the video. It was posted to YouTube, so I'm gonna have to look up this young fella. But I don't know if y'all saw that, but I mean, it's not complicated to understand how media does control people's minds, and especially children. It has a tremendous influence on us. It influences our clothing choices. It influences our political choices. It influences our, you know, consumer choices. It just influencing everything. And for this child, you know, to just articulately break it down so that a child, you know, should be able to understand what he's saying. But I've, you know, come across many adults who just wouldn't get it, who just seem to don't get it, who don't grasp the science behind the technology and the media programming. And it's not like this is anything new. Radio wasn't invented 10 years ago. You know, the internet only really been around since, what, you know, 1990s, when it began to open up to the civilian population and regular consumers and whatnot. But television been around since the 1950s, I believe, maybe earlier, I'm not sure. So these aren't new inventions, okay? These aren't new weapons that they just invented for mind control. This is something, a tried and true weapon that they have been using for decades, and they continue to use it because it is so effective. And most people, the way that they are educated, they're not prepared to handle the programming. They're not prepared to, they don't have a firewall up around, you know, their brain, so to speak. And it influences them. And it can either influence for the positive or the negative. Because I've certainly been influenced by media. Reading Malcolm X's biography, the book, that's media, okay? The music of, and lyrics in the rap songs of Public Enemy, okay? And many other rappers and what have you that was dropping knowledge in their lyrics and making people ask questions and what have you. So, yeah, definitely I'm going to play that clip. I'm going to play that clip. I don't know if Brother Quabinus heard it or not, but joining us on the line is Brother Quabinus Rasuli. Greetings to you, brother.
Hey, Brother Scotty. How you feel, man?
Oh, I'm good. You must be in Chicago or something, man, because I'm hearing a whole lot of wind.
You're hearing a whole lot of, okay, how about now? Is it better now?
Yes, sir. Thank you for joining us, Brother Quabinus, and as I was telling the listeners earlier that, you know, you've accepted, you know, invitation to become a regular contributor on Black Talk Radio News to update us and keep us informed on activities related to the work that you are, you know, every time you join us on the airways to talk about the work of the Clear the Airways Project and similar formations and what have you. So I just want to thank you again for accepting that invitation. You're very knowledgeable on it, and obviously you are boots on the ground that can give us, you know, on the ground reports and what have you. So thank you again, Brother Quabinus, for accepting.
Yeah, it's always, you know, it's always some issues, man, that unfortunately you have to deal with when you're people striving to survive in America, in the United States of America, I should say, and people who are oppressed and struggling to get out of this oppression. You're still constantly under attack in so many different ways, whether it's low-intensity warfare or just blatant stuff that's out there. So, I mean... And bro, we appreciate what you're doing with this media, man. Black Talk Radio, man, it's awesome. And so, for me to be able to be a part and to contribute periodically, man, it's humbling, but it's also try to take advantage of the opportunity too. So, man, appreciate that.
Oh, no doubt. Now, speaking, what's coming up? I do know. The last time we spoke with you, there was a plan for a protest outside of the McDonald's to bring attention to the fact that they were sponsoring murder music on the local radio stations, and that was planned for a weekend. So what was that like? Let's start there. What was that like? What was the turnout? You know, have you gotten a response? Please inform us about that.
Not from that particular one. And, that, you know, just to be like Amaral Cabral said, hide nothing from the masses, you know, just tell the people the truth. And we did not have, we had one person show up for that demonstration, one person in a community where we have had, I mean, just hundreds of people shot over the past this year. And, you know, so it's just crazy. So we're not stopping. We know it's still a struggle that we have to deal with and contend with, so we're going to continue to move forward. We got another one taking place on June 4th. We're going back out again to the McDonald's. We're hoping to get people to come out again and support this, to fight against this madness, because, again, what they're doing is they're buying commercials on these radio stations. Right after they play songs that tell Africans to kill each other, here comes a McDonald's Quarter Pounder commercial or a breakfast commercial. And no other race would take it. I mean, when they disrespected Sandra Fluke, Rush Limbaugh did several years ago, and within 3 days, he lost 13 sponsors. And they disrespect black women constantly. You know, 80% of the songs they play call out women, B's and H's. And it's a struggle trying to get people to understand how that ties into a lot of the violence and fratricide that's occurring in our communities, not just in the Chicago area where I live, but it's also in Savannah, Georgia, where over 50 people were killed last year. It's also in Durham, North Carolina, you know, where Minister Paul Scott, he's been working on trying to fight that issue right now with all the killings going on there. I was just in Atlanta last weekend, and just south of Atlanta, after a prom after party, four Africans were shot and one of them was killed. You know, we look at, speaking of Atlanta, T.I., the artist from Atlanta, here we go again with him. He did a concert in New York last night where one person was killed, I think three or four shot, at a concert in New York. And he's a hip-hop concert, and one of the guys in the group that was playing, was called, his name was Uncle Murder. Can you believe that? His name was Uncle Murder.
Yes, I can believe it. I believe it. Yeah. I mean, we've heard all the names that they've come up with to fit their persona, their characters that the music industry, you know, has a hand in helping them to create. You know, we've heard about the studio gangsters and all of that. They, you know, they only live the life of a gangster when they rapping about it in the studio. Otherwise, you know, man, first, sad to hear about that. But you know, sometimes all it take is one. Now I would have been really disappointed if nobody showed up. So that shows there's at least one person that came out to that particular rally. And maybe next time it'll be two. And it'll just. But the point is, you just got to keep doing what you're doing. And we can't get, while we do, we're human beings, and get discouraged when we have low turnout, because then we interpret that to mean that the community really doesn't care. But what I think is more about, Brother Kwabena, is that they don't understand.
I think it's good, too, because one of the things that we had come out of that is information that we were sharing, that it got out. It did get out. So, and hold on a second. Don't go.
Okay. You talking to us? All right, Brother Kwabena will rejoin us as soon as he can. But again, I do think
it's
I do.
Yeah, they had an issue with ATM. So. So we were able to get all the documentation out that we had, and so we were able to inform people, which was one of the main things that we do on these, but the main thing we want to do is shut them down.
Right.
Shut them down so they stop buying commercials and supporting this murder music, because it's so horrific. Hey, man, but a good update is that Speech from Arrested Development. Do you remember Speech?
Yes. And I was actually going to bring that up with you and ask you the same question. I've been sharing the petition. First, I signed it, but I've been sharing the petition. But go ahead and tell the listeners about it.
Well, he just wrote it to a lot of these executives of these multimedia conglomerates, and especially to the FCC. They were copied first to say, okay, it's time to stop violating your policies, and the impact of this violent, ratchet music, that it must stop, and it needs to stop. And so he's asking for 500 signatures, which he's already got. But we're saying we need to grow this thing to 50,000, not 500,000 people to sign this petition.
That's just the way change.org is set.
Yeah.
You know, first, the goal is 200. Then once you reach that, it'll change to 500. Once you reach that, then, you know, it just keeps going in increments like that. But I got the petition up. Right now, Let's Change Mainstream Radio by playing more positive hip-hop, soul, and R&B music. Hi, y'all. My name is Speech from the music group Arrested Development. I have loved hip-hop for over 30 years. It has changed my life and the lives of most of the people around me. I see it as the most powerful entertainment medium for social awareness and change in recent history, and it has unfortunately been taken hostage by institutionalized racism, fierce corporate greed, and unconscious artists. Over the last 25 years, we all have become desensitized to the ever-increasing barrage of content that glorifies negativity, black-on-black murder, hatred, hyper-sensuality, hyper-criminality, and gross misogyny. This is not about censoring. I'm an artist myself, so I know that when artistic expression is limited, freedom and the evolution of ideals is often the casualty. This is about exposing hypocrisy and the desensitization of us all when rape, gay bashing, and bullying aren't acceptable behaviors for mainstream radio, but black-on-black murder is. Today, our entire nation hears these themes 100 times a day across hundreds of cities and on thousands of media outlets, including mainstream corporate-supported radio stations. During prime time, drive time, morning, noon, and night, our nation's small kids, teens, and adults subconsciously celebrate black murder, violence, and negative stereotypes through urban, quote-unquote, music. And you could share... I'm gonna share the rest again. I'm gonna share it on Black Talk Radio Network's Facebook page. Send it out to Twitter again, so the listeners that's following us, you can read the rest, because he wrote a lot about it. So, your thoughts?
I love it. I mean, this is what we need. We've had petitions before, but this one makes it plain. And one thing about speech, you know, we talk about the police and their blue code of silence. A lot of hip-hop artists also have a ratchet rap code of silence, and he's not. He doesn't, so I'm glad he put that out there. I hope more will follow suit and demand, but if they don't, the people need to follow suit with that and demand this happens. One thing in there we talked about, you know, it's not acceptable to be gay bashing and talk about raping women and stuff, so it shouldn't be acceptable to rap about killing Africans. But man, they even,
right,
you know, with the talk we had last year this time, they even rap about raping and gang raping women in this music. You know, for instance, poor homie Quan's song, Ooh, 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 which they still play on these radio stations constantly. Mm-hmm. So they still do it, brother. And so it's so horrific now, man. Yesterday we heard on the Power 92.3 station out here in Chicago, this song called Car Ain't Got No Roof. We Be in the City is the name of the song, man. But they got a verse on there, man, where this fool talks about shooting you in the face and the back, gonna have your whole set crying. I mean, and you know, then right after that, bro, we heard Dej Loaf's song that's about a year and a half old, going on 2 years old, which she brags about being a Nazi and I hate ends, and I'm gonna get your whole MFing family, your whole MFing family she gonna kill on the radio, dude. And it's just so, yeah, Speech's petition is right on time. It needs to be followed up with, and I'm glad he's hitting the FCC, because that's one of the things that we talked about in those four things that we must do this year to get the crap off the air before the year's out. And it is to listen to what your children are listening to. When you hear this indecency, this obscene music, which is, by the way, against the policy of the FCC, file a complaint with them. Take the 5 minutes it takes to fill out that form. It takes 4 minutes once you get the hang of it. It doesn't take long at all. So file a complaint with them. We're also asking the people, that's number one. Number two, we're asking them to call these radio stations and complain to them. That's number two. Number three, join some of these organizations like CMOTAP, which is the Committee to Eliminate Media Offensive to African People. Work with the Clear the Airways Project or Rage Against the Ratchet out of Philly or Do Better Now out of Jacksonville, Florida. And help. Do your part. The fourth thing is that, economic sanctions, like we're doing with McDonald's, another corporate sponsors, like Speech even talked about in that petition. Deal with these corporate sponsors. McDonald's, you going to play music on a station that tells African children to pop Molly, you know, and to run trains on girls and to kill each other in your commercial? No, we're not buying your products, and this is why. So, yeah, there's simple things that we can do and that we must do, because this stuff, Brother Scotty, I mean, that's culture. Music is culture, and culture is a people's way of life.
Mm-hmm.
And, bro, we see it every day in the schools. We see it every day on the streets. We see it every day, and they know it. That's why they're hitting the music so hard like that. They know it.
Right. Let me ask you this. Can you give us about 7 more minutes?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if you heard this video of this young man. He has a YouTube show, King Nah, a radio show. I have to look it up on YouTube. But I saw the video on YouTube, and it went viral on YouTube, over almost 1.5 million views and what have you. And it's a young 10-year-old looking, black boy. And he seems to be either a host or the co-host of this program. But he's talking about some of the things that you just talked about. I don't know if you've seen this. I don't know if our listeners have seen it. But I'm going to play it now. This is a young adolescent boy. I think he's no older than 10 years old. Could be 11. Talking about the music on the radio.
It's a lot of rappers out there that when they rap, they don't talk about anything, but it's going to be one thing that they talk about, negativity and killing each other. But what young rappers need to know and new rappers need to know that they have a responsibility. It's a lot of young children out here, 9 years old, 10 years old, or some teenagers listening to this violent music, the aggression, the negativity, and they might want to do something negative, all that negative energy, oh, I want to shoot somebody right now, and all this and that. That's what the music puts into their head in the certain movies, the certain things they listen to, the certain things they watch. No, it puts evil images, bad images. That's why you see it's black on black crime. That's why you see people are getting murdered from there and there. That's why you see, you know, different things going on. It's because the music that's controlling them, the news on TV controlling them. That's why we have to break out of that system, and rappers have to change their style. But that's why they get famous. That's why they get famous off all this stuff, because they're talking about negativity. And in the other way, when you're talking about positivity and you're rapping positive, kids are going to say, man, we don't want to listen to that. Get that whack stuff out of here. What's that? That's not music. But what they don't understand is that what they're listening to is not music. But that's why certain people don't get famous off of rapping with positivity, because it's not a famous cycle. People don't like positivity. Not everybody. Some people don't like positivity, and they might never listen to it, and they might only listen to the negative thing, negative thing, negative thing, negative things, like all these rappers do, is rap about negative things. Not all of them, but sometimes that's all they do. And that's how the children get them negative images in their head. The rappers, the movies, it can be different things. It's like, say for instance, if I was on my phone one day, right, and I seen rappers, and I say, oh, they look cool, let me watch this stuff. And I say, I'm going to shoot somebody, I'm going to shoot up this building, I'm going to shoot up this place. And then I like their music, and I'm going to keep listening to it, keep listening to it, keep listening to it, until one day, I might want to do an evil thing to somebody. That's what happens. The kid, the child, the young child listens to that music over and over again, over and over again. Then one day, you know, it might come. One day they might want to hurt somebody. One day they might want to, oh, my favorite rappers talk about killing somebody. I want to kill somebody right now. That's what they say. But that's what a lot of young children do. For those of you parents who don't know, that's how it goes. They say, my favorite rapper do this, I want to do this, let's get it. And then that's what they do. So a lot of parents need to check what your children are listening to, checking what they're watching, because it might bring negative energy towards you as well when they push that negative energy towards you, when they say negative thing towards you. That's why you need to always make sure that your children are around positive images, positive songs, positive music. Like you see, when I do my music, it's positive and it's rap. You know, like, your hair, love your hair, and be there for them. Those are two. And Dress Code, those are all three positive songs. But Dress Code's singing, but still, those are all three positive songs. But it's not only...
Excuse me, that's the end of that particular clip. Brother Quabner, your comments, had you heard that?
Yes, of course, man. We shared that on the page, and this is the truth coming out of the mouths of the youth. And we love it, man. And and the thing is, bro, so many people understand that reality, because when we talk to people about this stuff, they know it's a problem. You have some people that, oh, you can't just blame it on the music, it's the parents and all that. The parents need help, man. We're struggling out here. The parents, I know plenty of parents out here, man, two parents in the household still struggling with their children acting up. And so you talking about them, what do you do about the ones who don't have the guidance? And so the bottom line, whoever's the issue, that crap should not be on the radio. It should not. They're violating FCC regulations. They're violating our people. They're violating our children, like the young brother just said. So, no, we agree with that wholeheartedly. We've been sharing that. We're going to share it again now that you just played it again, because I love it. I love the young brother and what he's saying there. And he's making it plain. He's making it plain. And it's just so, sometimes, Brother Scotty, I don't know what I'm more surprised at, some of the crap I hear on the radio, or the fact that we don't, as a mass of the people, get up and properly address this crap.
Right. Some of the excuses I've heard is like speech brought up, First Amendment. You know, I was talking to an activist on a South Carolina radio station. She's a local activist fighting against the violence, stop the violence, and all this and that. And when I brought up these very things that the young man, you know, so plainly spoke about, and the influence of media on the minds of people, and she was like, well, you know, those radio stations got to make money, and I know this radio station, they play that kind of music, and they let me come on for 5 minutes, and you know what I'm saying, not understanding that not all of it is the music, you know, it's also in the home too. But if that music and a bad home environment, I'm talking about abusive parents or parents setting a bad example, then it's no wonder that you have violence prone areas. I bet you can match up the most violent prone areas in our communities, where it's a large conglomeration of us or gathering of us, you know, match the music coming out the radio station with you know, the crime. You know, I'm willing to bet you they'll show a correlation. I think before you told me somebody already did a study like that. So again, we're talking about stuff that has already been proven. It's already been documented, and we're talking about simple science of the mind, how the mind works and what have you. So, man, again, that's why I appreciate, you know, the work that you guys are doing, the Rage Against the Ratchet, and we need to grow these movements and these other formations and organizations and whatnot that purport themselves to be about solving violence in our community, you know, like the Detroit 300 that want to play mall cop in the community and whatnot, but you ain't joining the effort to ban this violent programming from the public airways. We ain't talking about XM radio. We ain't talking about cable or nothing like. We're talking about public terrestrial airways that they say belong to us. They say that bandwidth belongs to the public, and it's supposed to meet certain community guidelines. So, you know, I didn't mean to go on that rant. But before you go, Brother Quabner, do any upcoming events, any upcoming news that you want to make the listeners aware of?
Yeah, man, we just left Atlanta for Malcolm X Fest, and so Brother Watani and the good people down there allowed us to speak and share information about the Critter Airways Project. So that was beautiful at the Malcolm X Grassroots Fest. We had a chance to grab with Stick Man, who was down there from Dead Prez, so he's aware of what's going on. Sister Ciroc, conscious artist. I mean, again, and this brings up, I mean, Wise Intelligence from Poor Righteous Teachers was one of the performers there. Brother Zayed Malik from the Outlaws was there. And so, but these are brothers and sisters making good, beautiful, positive, funky music right now today that is not getting any airplay. And we mentioned speech and that and the petition, but speech also had this article written about what ended conscious hip hop. And I thought it was very interesting, because that album that they had out with Tennessee on it, I mean, that album sold millions and millions of copies.
Yep.
Their next album was a great album, but it got no push. No play from the record companies, because they did not want the people to hear it. And so that article broke down how that was part of the end of the golden age of hip-hop. So if you get a chance, it's on our page, Clear the Airways Project. And this weekend is Africa Liberation Day, that we're recognizing that all across the U.S. and Africa, all across the world. But in Chicago, we'll be out there with the people for Africa Liberation Day also sharing information about the Clear the Airways Project. And we know so many activists in the city of Chicago and Northwest Indiana area. And, bro, and just like what you said, we need them. All the conscious ones, we need them to come out with us and demand that this stuff cease. Because they know. You know, they know what's going on. So it's a struggle, man, but we're going to win. And our goal, again, is before the end of 2016, that this crap be off the radio, off the air. And that's too long for us to wait that long for us. Because I'm going to tell you right now, in the time that you and I have been talking for this half hour or so, just like Speech Center's petition, these radio stations have been killing, have been audio assaulting, audio raping the minds of our children in this half hour all across the country, in stations like the ones we mentioned in Chicago and Savannah, Georgia, and all throughout Louisiana, L.A., everywhere, all throughout this country. It is a plan to do this, and we must, as conscious Africans, or just as Africans with any sense, tell them to stop that crap and make sure, demand that they stop it.
Yes, sir, not ask, demand, because power concedes nothing without a demand, said Frederick Douglass. So thank you again, Brother Kwabena. You be blessed, and you be safe out there on the front lines.
Okay, brother. Appreciate you, man. And I look forward to speaking with you again. I'm glad. Did it work out the other day with my sister from fighting that GEO?
Oh, my goodness, man. We had all kind of technical issues and what have you, but we got her on. And the podcast is up. Of course, I edited it, so, you know, it's safe for consumption. But we was having communication issues. But a wonderful interview, man. She was using all the language we're accustomed to, not calling it mass incarceration. But if you do say mass incarceration, you know, also mention it's slavery, you know. So, man, I mean, she brought the heat last night, man. I'm serious. You got to check out that podcast.
Oh, man, I've got a little bit of a taste of it, but I'm surely going to do that, man. Reverend Rivera is one of the ones, so we're going to definitely share with make sure the people out here get that, too, because they still fight, man, to try to make that happen out here. But we're going to battle them, man. No private prison. This is all part of the same, like we said when we came on today, the same system that's constantly trying to keep us asleep and hurt us in this society, man. The same capitalistic, greedy system that just does not care about people, puts money and profit before the people, and we saying enough is enough. So, right on, brother.
Right on. You have a good day, bro.
All right, you too. Forward.
All right, so appreciate the work that all the activists out there that see the importance of taking control of the community airways, and we had to take ownership. You know, a lot of times when although we're being victimized, we don't have to be victims. Okay. And that means taking ownership over. If you're going to call it a community, if it's yours, if there's power in numbers, then, you know, we need to unify and take ownership over wherever we are. And, you know, this is just a part of the problem. Clearing the airways is not going to be the solution to ending slavery or anything like that, but it is a very important tool and tactic that the enemy is using against us, and we need to do all that we can to stop it and just take ownership. We don't have to accept this, and that petition was made out to the FCC Chairman Tom Wheeler and all those corporations, all those corporate heads that make the music that's targeting the black community. And I didn't check them all, but I'm willing to bet you 90% of them are not African descending people. So when you're not even in control of your own music, your own sounds, your own language and what have you, you know, you got a serious problem there. So we're going to take a station identification break. And then on the other side, I'm going to wrap it up with some political news. Of course, if you have anything you would like to share, any comments on what you've heard, give us a call at 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-POUND, and hit *6 and 1, and that'll signal me. So, yeah, that's the way. And also the studio line, which is 704-951-5030. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. Stay tuned.
The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project. a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium. All right, welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. I just have some updates as far as the station goes. Tonight, there will not be a live broadcast of Blacks in Business Radio. Going to run a repeat of last week's program. If you missed last week's program, that was a good one, as they were talking about what was the subject? They were talking about real estate. Secrets of Real Estate is what the title that I chose for it. But he had something else that he was talking about. But anyway, it was a great program. He had on the guy who taught him everything he knows about real estate, introduced him into real estate, mentioned books. And one of the books they mentioned was Donald Trump's The Art of the Deal or something like that. Said you can get a lot of good information from that book. So that program is worth listening to and what have you. So, but there will be no live broadcast. Sister Cece, I think, is out traveling. She was supposed to go to this conference, this black business conference. I think it was going to be here in North Carolina, up in the Raleigh area, or Greensboro area. So I believe that's why she's not able to host it. But Tando Radio Show will be on air from 6 to 8 o'clock. That's 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern to 8 o'clock p.m. So that is our live streaming for this Thursday, May the 26th. Black media crowdfunding campaign. Again, can't thank people enough who have made donations. You know, you may think that if you make a $2 donation, that's not appreciated. It is certainly appreciated. If the hundreds of thousands who have listened to Black Talk Radio in 2016 donated $2, then, you know, we would have a tremendous budget and would really be engaged in our mission of building independent black media network, starting with digital radio, getting into low power FM radio, and of course also digital video broadcasting and what have you. So all of those donations I appreciate. Make sure that you choose the right button on how you donate, because there are several options. I got a order, a donation today, a contribution today, and the person clicked on the wrong thing, and they did not provide their address to get their Black Radio Stations Matter t-shirt. They, you know, wrote in the comment section the size, but forgot to put the mailing address on there. So, sister, I got the donation. Thank you for the donation, but I need your address, and if you could reply to the email I sent to you. I've had people ask for extra larges. We do have some extra larges now in stock. This is thank you gifts. These t-shirts going to come out with some more items that we give as thank yous, you know, for people making donations and contributions to our North Carolina based nonprofit Black Talk Media Project. All right, so moving on. Just want to talk about some of the political news today. I mean, we are in a political campaign season, but this particular campaign season for president has been, let's say, more interesting than any recent, unless you want to talk about 2000, when, you know, the Bush family and all their cronies and people working in the, what was it, Diebold digital voting machines and what have you. You know, that was really contentious as they flip votes and rob people of their right to vote and what have you. We seen some of that going on in New York, voter disenfranchisement going on in Arizona. Today I came across an article where the secretary, I think it's the the county clerk in a certain county in Wisconsin, testified in a federal trial or federal case that they did not want to allow voting on the weekend because they didn't want to give too much voting access to quote unquote urban areas. So, you know, if you live in a rural area like I do, you know, among a whole bunch of white people, man, you don't have no problems voting, man. You in and out 5 minutes, you know, if that long, you know, if you've already made up your mind on your choices, whatnot, you in and out, you in and out. But when for some reason in these cities or in towns where the population is predominantly black and non-white, all of these issues pop up. All of these issues pop up. So, you know, I gotta believe that there's a reason why they don't want, you know, people to engage in that. And they steal them. They steal elections and things of that nature. I'm just waiting for them to steal one, and that be the final straw. And, you know, this crooked corporation gets dissolved, and we can start all over from scratch and create something new and better. But here's something that caught my eye. Donald Trump had a rally. I think it was in California. I'm not sure. Might have been New Mexico. People have told me, they asked me if I saw the news reports where you had those protesters throwing rocks and bottles at police outside of a Trump rally and whatnot, and I had not seen it, and you know, or anything, still have not seen it and whatnot. But some of the protesters and the media, the corporate media that is aligned with the Clinton machine, because, you know, corporate media owes the Clintons a lot, owes Republicans a lot as well, you know, with that 1996 telecommunication bill that allowed them, you know, six corporations to take over 90% of the media. But I'm seeing among the media that is more aligned with the Democratic Party, more aligned with Hillary Clinton, they're calling Donald Trump a war criminal. And that just, you know, really struck me as one who knows Hillary Clinton's political history, know a little bit about her personal history too, but her political history, the things she has advocated for, the policies that she has advanced, the people she has worked with professionally and what have you. And then to see, you know, to know all of the murder and mayhem that she has been involved in. We could point to Libya. All of that murder and mayhem. They use these Islamic extremists, Muslim extremists. They could have been, you know, just paid mercenaries and you know, claiming to be Muslim extremists, but really, you know, are pawns on the geopolitical chessboard, and they're being funded, you know, and I think that has been proven. You know, Department of Defense funding one set of rebels in Syria, the CIA funding these quote-unquote extremists, you know, and what have you. So Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State and the Obama administration, people just want to act like Obama is this angel and not the neoliberal colonizer that he is, you know. But what they did to Libya, man, that was a war crime. That was a war crime. And we have Hillary's emails between her and Sidney Blumenthal, admit him telling her that rebel commanders are saying that these Islamic extremist militias that the United States and NATO helped overthrow Libya was committing war crimes, slaughtering black people, slaughtering people loyal to the government that was headed by Gaddafi as the prime minister. Just mass murder. We got the videos we of them terrorizing black people, of desecrating black bodies and what have you. I mean, it's just horrific. And Hillary Clinton was told this by who I think is a CIA operative, longtime the guy Sidney Blumenthal, used to be a political aide in the Clinton, Bill Clinton administration. Now he's, you know, got this title of journalist. But behind the scenes, he's been advising Hillary Clinton the whole time. And I've heard read that he's got business interests in Libya. So here he is emailing Hillary Clinton about what he's hearing from rebel commanders about war crimes being committed against black people. And Hillary Clinton did nothing. And not just put it all on Hillary Clinton, but she was put in charge. She led the way. She made sure y'all saw a video of her talking about we came, we saw he died, to let you know this was a Clinton operation and what have you. And she just act like nothing. No black lives did, like I've said before, black lives don't matter to the Clintons. Rwanda should have showed you that. Now there's new information coming out that not only did Bill Clinton administration sit on his hand while all those people were being murdered in Rwanda, they actively interfered at the UN level to prevent the UN Security Council from passing any resolutions to do something about all that mass killing that was going on in Africa, in Rwanda. And then here we are, how many, 20, 30 years later in Libya, more mass black killing going on at the hands of racist Arabs and reported Islamic extremists and whatnot. So we want to talk about, yeah, Trump is a character. Yes, he is a character. He is a racist suspect who has done said racist things and borderline things that we call dog whistle, racist dog whistles and whatnot. But to call him a war criminal, to compare him to a war criminal, that's incorrect. Unless you come, I mean, what war criminal are you comparing them to? You're going to say Hitler? You're going to say somebody like that? Because I'm telling you, Hillary Clinton has bodies. She has bodies on her record. Tens of thousands, perhaps over a million or so, if we want to count her support for the neocon agenda to invade Iraq. Okay? Now what she's done in Libya, and who knows how many black and brown people are being murdered in Honduras right now because the State Department, under her leadership, the Obama administration, supported the right-wing military coup that ousted the democratically elected president, who I was reading was going to pass they were working on passing a new constitution or some kind of rights for workers and land rights and what have you, addressing issues like that. In the business class, the corporations got with the military, overthrew the president, forcefully, violently removed him from power, started rounding up and assassinating activists, human rights activists. And Hillary Clinton introduced this new government to the world and saying that, you know, let's normalize relations with them and they're open for business. Same thing she said after the disaster in Haiti, after the earthquake in Haiti. It's open for business for the corporations to come in and exploit the nation's resources, meaning any natural resources, which would include the people. Then you wonder why so many of those Honduran children were trying to get across the border and mothers sent them here to this country, fleeing all that violence and stuff. That's because of U.S. policy. So, but, you know, Trump is, I wouldn't vote for that man for nothing in the world. He is not an option, but neither is Hillary Clinton. And if we're going to use correct language, we can't fall into the media trying to shape our perception of Trump as being equal to a Hitler or something like that when we got somebody in a Hillary Clinton who actually has blood on her hands. She actually does. She, you know, has committed war crimes, married to a man involved in war crimes. So please don't don't insult my intelligence in trying to compare Donald Trump to a war criminal, you know, because let's match his record up against Hillary Clinton in terms of global war crimes. So that was my thoughts on what I'm seeing in the media in terms of this presidential election. It's just crazy. It's just crazy that all of a sudden people are just going to ignore her record. How can you ignore all of this? This isn't I'm not a Republican. I'm not a conservative right wing person with an agenda to take down Hillary Clinton. No, I'm a black man with an agenda to take down Hillary Clinton, to do everything I can to influence people politically to not vote for this woman, and to just simply do that by telling the truth about her and letting you know what her record is. Because I understand some people, they just don't have time. You know, we do often criticize people for not, you know, for getting their primary sources of news and information from comedians on black radio or from, you know, television and these cable channels that aren't controlled by us and what have you. These corporate news channels that have a history of manipulating public perception and whatnot. So we criticize people for that, but on the real, though, there are people out there that's working two jobs, three jobs, might be single parents, might have a parent in slavery or something like that, and they don't have the time that a radio host of a political program has in, you know, researching this stuff and sharing information and what have you. So I do understand so why people do get misinformed, but once you find out this woman's real record, I don't care what Donald Trump said. You know, I can say this. These are some polls that said that Donald Trump is seen as more honest than Hillary Clinton. Now, I could phrase it that way, or I could just say that he is seen as untrustworthy by a majority of people, but Hillary Clinton is seen as more untrustworthy than even Donald Trump. Even more, you know, untrustworthy. Okay, now, I see Donald Trump, you know, I ain't figured him out. He's playing the game, obviously, to win the Republican nomination. He know that their primary voting base is white people, and he know poor, uneducated white males especially tend to vote Republican. So he went out there. It could have been a campaign strategy to breeze through and stomp the competition, because he was willing to blow his racist dog whistle a little bit louder than the other candidates and what have you. And he's actually in a roundabout way kind of admitted to this. So I see him as being more honest than a Hillary Clinton, who's going out, who from the jump street was rounding up mothers of dead black children and creating this fake movement, talking about mothers of the movement. What movement is you talking about, Hillary Clinton? That we, you know, that's not a movement. If the funding is coming from the federal government, if the funding is coming from the corporations that are involved in our enslavement and all of that, that ain't no movement led by black people. I don't care how many black faces you put on it and what have you. And to act like, you know, she hasn't been involved. All a woman does is lie. So it's easy to see how Donald Trump is viewed more honest than Hillary Clinton, because he has a long record of lying. But again, I don't know what I'm going to do come November elections. I do need to study up on some of these people that's running for other offices here in North Carolina. We got another primary coming up in North Carolina for the governor and whatnot. And y'all know North Carolina been in the news because of HB2, the so-called transgender bathroom bill. But that bill also made it easier for employers to discriminate against black people. Also made it easier for them to discriminate against elderly people as well, but they don't talk a lot about that. All right, so you know, we got that primary coming up. I got to study up refresh my memory with some of these local candidates. I know we got a judge on the Supreme Court here in the state that we need to get off. And it's funny. It's funny because these guys don't really run for election. They run for reappointment, but the voters are the ones that appoint these guys. And so you could vote that you don't want him to go back, and if a majority of the people say he should not be, you know, given another term, then he's not given another term or something, and then they have an election, you know. But he doesn't run against anyone. It's just he either gets a yay or a nay vote. I thought that was interesting, something I didn't know, you know, about my state or the state that I live in and what have you. So definitely got to be looking at that. Let me see if there anything else. I can't think of anything else. Yeah, I did write something on Facebook. Historic black voting patterns make little sense. This morning I got up and I was taking a long view and analyzing black voting patterns in presidential elections going all the way back to 1936. And it was funny to find that there are periods during that from 1936 to 2012 that the black vote just didn't make sense. And I mean, from 1936 all the way up to 2012, blacks overwhelmingly were voting for Republicans. I mean, excuse me, not Republicans, Democrats. And I'm thinking of a time period where the Democrats were openly racist. I mean, I can't think of a time they haven't been, coming out of the Civil War and whatnot. But for some reason, black voters in overwhelming 70%, 80% I saw voting for Democrats for president. And I don't understand that, and I need more information. I don't know what kind of media was targeting them. I don't know what the black leadership class was telling them to do, or how they pastor or a preacher was telling them to vote. I don't have all that information, but on the surface of it, it looks odd. It looks like black people voting against their own interests and whatnot. We've heard that often as a dig against poor white people who vote for Republicans that cut the social safety net. But, you know, it happens to all people. I mean, how do you explain the overwhelming majority of people supporting Hillary Clinton with her record? Yeah, you just can't, unless you take into consideration other factors. Well, I'm alive today. I wasn't alive in 1936 or 1946 or 1956 I wasn't alive during those presidential elections. I think they like every 4 years. I wasn't alive, but I know today what plays a big role in why so many black folks overwhelmingly supported a woman who called our children super predators, who have so many black lives on her record of being snuffed out globally and whatnot. And I know the media today that will targeted black people. I know, because of the Clinton plan. I still got to read that document from the State Department about Hillary Clinton's media plan for the election. So I can explain it today in terms of this Democratic primary, but some of those periods in the general election, 1936, I'm going to have to look and see who was the Democratic nominee or president that was nominee in the general election that so many black people voted for, and see if I can look at their platforms and ascertain why you would vote for a party that overwhelmingly openly supported the Ku Klux Klan and terrorism against black folks and whatnot. You know, because coming out of the Civil War, Republicans, you know, black people was voting a lot for Republicans and even elected black senators and members of Congress and what have you. After, you know, they call it Reconstruction and what have you. But then once you hit the 1900s, you know, I only got from 1936 to 2012, all of a sudden black folks is voting Democrat, because we've been told that, you know, we only started voting Democrat in the 60s, you know, when Republicans and, you know, Goldwater and them came out against the Civil Rights Act. And John F. Kennedy got Martin Luther King bailed out of that Alabama jail and whatnot. So I understand why black folks was voting Democrats going to, you know, the Kennedy administration. But the 1936 and those other areas, man, I'm gonna have to do more research to explain what it seems like a illogical voting pattern to me. I mean, because there are so many things to consider. Hell, it could have been massive voter fraud back then. You know, I doubt if there were any black officials counting votes, and they could have just said, well, you know, all these votes went to this guy, all these black folks, and we don't know. It could have been massive voting fraud, but on the surface, it just looks so illogical, man. And it's important, if we're going to do anything, engage in any kind of activity, man, we got to be, you know, operating from logic and not emotion, not fear, not greed, not hate, but logic. All right, so that's my show today. Coming up in about an hour at 6:00 p.m. Eastern time, Tando Radio Show will be on air live today on the Black Talk Radio Network's digital radio station. Of course, it's Black Talk Radio, providing you with new black media for the new millennium. Recognize the fact that it's a battlefield out there. The whole planet is a battlefield. And we're going to have to come up with more effective ways in countering the system of slavery. We got to bring slavery to an end by any means necessary. And in order to do that, you can't be in prison. You can't be in a slave. I mean, yes, you can fight. Let me take that back. You can fight from within them walls, if we've seen the brothers in Alabama, Texas, and other states fighting from within. But that's not the best place you want to be fighting against slavery. All right, you can do more on the outside to end slavery. So what I'm trying to say is, let's not make stupid mistakes, careless mistakes, and get ourselves tangled up in this system when it could have been completely unavoidable. Damn, if I just hadn't have been doing 20 miles over the speed limit, I wouldn't have got pulled over. I wouldn't have got that ticket. My insurance rates wouldn't have went up, or they wouldn't have found out I had a warrant and then I'm in jail and can't get out because I ain't got the money for bail or whatnot. So let's move with a purpose behind these enemy lines, but let's be smart about our movements. People are dying out there every day. People are getting enslaved out there every day. And I don't want to see it happen to anyone. So just take care and do your due diligence. With that said, I'm out. Until tomorrow, peace and blessings to all.